Hey, thank you so much for joining with us today. My name is Esther Andrew and I'm so excited to be sharing a message with you called Hold Nothing Back. My prayer is that it would bless you. You know, some of my favorite scriptures come from the Psalm and the Psalms, and this one in particular, I just love it. Stirs something on the inside of me. It's Psalm 122 verse 1, and it says, I was glad when they said to me, come and let us go to the house of the Lord. Doesn't that stir something inside of you? Oh, I'm so glad to come to the house of the Lord. No matter what my week's been like, oh, I'm glad to come. Even if I might feel like I'm just dragging myself in, I'm exhausted or tired from the week that was, come. I'm so glad to be in the house of God. And I don't know how you've come in today, but I pray that you would go home glad. I pray that God would fill you with gladness. I also love Psalm 84:10. It says, a single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. Oh, I love it. I would rather be a gatekeeper on the doors in the house of my God than live in the homes of the wicked. Or the Message puts it in a really beautiful way. It says, one day spent in your house, this beautiful place of worship, beats 1,000 spent on any Greek island beaches. I'd rather scrub the floors in the house of my God than be honored as a guest in the place of the wicked. I love that. Doesn't that just put into words what you feel in your heart? For me, sometimes I get this feeling inside and I just can't quite express it. And then I read that and I go, that's what I was feeling. That's how you put it into words. Or you know, you might have this encounter with the Lord and you can't quite express it again. And then you come into church and there's a brand new praise song. And you go, that's what I meant. I don't know about you, but that line in, I'm so sorry, I don't know the name of the song, but it says, I'll praise you like I've never known defeat. I had that moment right here and went, oh, that's what I'm feeling. I'll praise you like I've never known defeat. Church is such a beautiful place. It's a place to do life and it's a place to grow. But something that the Lord's been challenging me personally with, and I'd love to challenge you with the same today, is perhaps it's out of season because we're coming into Christmas, the holiday season, things are winding down. But I really feel God's calling us to step into a new place of surrender, a new place of holding nothing back, of giving out all for our Jesus, our Lord, and saying, Lord, here is my life again. And so today I'm wanting to ask you, would you come with me and hold nothing back for Christ? You know, we sung such a beautiful new song today about surrender. And again, it just puts into words what I'm feeling on the inside. So today I'd love to speak on hold nothing back. Say, hold nothing back. You guys are so good. You know, I'd love to read from Genesis 22. And this is the story or the recollection of when Abraham sacrifices his son Isaac. Now, the backstory of this passage is Abraham and his wife Sarah, they'd been believing for a baby for decades, to the point where they're now 100 years old, or just before being 100 years old and still no baby, yet these two faithful servants of the Lord stood on his word that God had given them, saying, you know, you will produce fruit. Your descendants will be as many as the grains of sand on the beach, or as many stars as you can see in the sky. Sometimes all we have is a word from God. And we can take encouragement from these two people here and go, if they did it, if God, you did it way back then for them, you're gonna do it now for me. So let's read from the text. It says, when they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son. Say, have not withheld. You see, Abraham held nothing back. He says, you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his thorns. And Abraham took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. It goes on to say in verse 18 that of 15 that the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this, and again you have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven and the sand is on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and your offspring, and in your offspring shall the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." It's an incredible picture of love. You know, Abraham loved his son so dearly. He's the promise. He's the boy that he'd prayed for years and years and years. And it was finally in his hands. But it's a picture of love because he was so in love with God, the Lord of all lords, that when the Lord asked him to give back his son, the promise, the thing he'd waited for, his response was, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." And you know, I've come to find that saying yes to being obedient to God on the big things, comes from being obedient to God on the small things, the everyday things. You know, pay for that person's petrol, or give an encouraging word to your hairdresser, or share me with your colleague at the office. When we get used to and we learn to trust God with the small things, when it comes to something like what we see with Abraham and Isaac here, a bigger thing, your heart's response is, "Well, yes, I am going to obey God because I've seen that you are faithful in the little, so you're going to be faithful in the lot." And we see that here in Abraham's story. But you see, Abraham's story turns out to be that surrender leads to great blessing. We just read it in the text where it said that the generations to follow you will be blessed. Your descendants will be as many as the sand is on the seashore. It's an incredible promise. Yet in that moment, in the natural, where Abraham's about to sacrifice his son, it actually looks like the end of his line, because his son Abraham is his legacy. He is the one that's going to produce his descendants. But yet we see God take something in the natural, make it supernatural, and we live in the fruit of that today. God is so good. And so when sometimes we see things in the natural and go, "It does not make sense," we need to trust that we serve a supernatural God. And if he's promised you, he will bring that word to fruition. He's a good God, amen? You see, what I love about God in this story is God will never ask us to do something that he himself isn't willing to do. You see, Abraham, God asked him to sacrifice his son. Fast forward through history a few years, quite a few years, and we see that the world is in a broken place. It's in a desperate place. It's in need of a savior, and in steps God. God sends his son Jesus as a sacrifice, just as he asked Abraham to do. And here we see that God brings the solution to our need. He's a good God. He's a good God. And so today when I'm saying, let's come to God and hold nothing back, we need to realize that Jesus himself has held nothing back from us. You know, I love it in the word where it says, let me find it here. In Matthew 7 verses 9 to 11, it says, "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, you'll give him a snake? If you then, even though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" He's a good father. Are there any dads in the room? Yeah, we love you dads, you're amazing. But if your little one comes to you and asks you for a piece of bread, you're not going to give them a stone. You're not going to give them a snake. And if we're just normal people here on earth, how much more does our Heavenly Father want to respond to our cries? How much more does he want to be true to his promises? He's such a great God. I also love in Psalm 84, verse 11, it says, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows grace, favor, and honor. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly." That is a promise for you and me. No good thing is our Father going to withhold from you. If he said he's going to heal you, well, he's not going to withhold healing. He will heal you. If you need provision and God said in his word that he's our provider, well, he's a good God, so he's going to provide for you. If God said that he's going to restore something that is broken, you can hang on to that word, because just as if you ask him for bread, he's not going to give you a stone. If you ask him for help, your Father's going to help you. He's such a good God. And I've come to see this so many times in my life. And one of them, a little more recent, was I'd been on a health journey, and you got to see another testimony of God moving in my life just before, but this is a different one. And about 10 years ago, maybe 11 or 12 actually, I was diagnosed with an incurable blood disorder. It affected my bone marrow, and it was 10 years of tests and treatments to no avail. Nothing would fix it. And it got to the point where we were trying all different treatments and drugs and injections and all of that blessed things that doctors used to heal us, but it wasn't so enjoyable for me. And I remember time and time again coming to the altar and thanking God for the healing. I remember so many times when a pastor or my urban life group leader would say, "Who needs healing?" And I'd raise my hands and believe that God would heal me. Yet 10 years went on of no results. In fact, 10 years went on of 6 weekly tests with results that just got worse and worse and worse. Until one day when I was standing right here, it was just a normal Sunday. It was just a normal altar call at the end of the service. If you responded, you needed to come for prayer. And to be honest, I hadn't come for prayer a lot in that season because I thought I've done that so many times. And I remember that day God saying, "Why don't you just go up for prayer again? Go see that urban life coach." So I stood right here. And as that urban life coach prayed for me, I felt God do something in my body. And the next day I coincidentally had tests again. And that next Thursday I got a phone call from a number that I knew so well, and it was my doctor. And I said, "Hey, Dr. Susan." And she used these exact words, because this whole 10 years I'd been telling her, "I'm gonna get a miracle. God's gonna heal me." And so she'd come on this journey. And on this Thursday around midday, Dr. Susan called and said, "Esther, I think you've got your miracle." And she told me that my body had been completely healed. And we can give him praise for that. 10 years of hearing, "No, you're not healed. No, it's getting worse." Until one day, with one encounter with our good God, he did not withhold and he healed me. And church, whatever situation you face today, God will not withhold. Just come again. There's going to be prayer at the end of the service. Come again. Come and meet with one of our prayer team. God is so powerful. But I'm so thankful for that journey. As much as I would have loved it happen like that, I learned so much along the way of God's faithfulness, of how true he is to his word, that even though facing challenging situations, God brings such a great joy. It's incredible when you walk through the midst of challenges, yet you can stand upright with a joy in your heart and go, "I know my dad's got this. I know my father's got this." So I don't know who that word is for today, but your dad has got this. You don't need to lose any more sleep over it. Your dad has got this. Amen? You see, sometimes God's delay can seem like a denial, but I found that not always to be true. You know, we're talking about a good father, one that would never give you a rock instead of bread. I work with children, and there's a lot of parents I can see in this room, but if you are approaching a crossing and your little one is ready to run through that intersection, they're too young to have the wisdom to stop and look left, look right, look left again for cars. So a good parent or a good father steps in, holds their hand and says, "Stop, just wait a minute." And in the father's wisdom, when the cars have cleared, he says, "All right, now it's safe to go." And sometimes in life we can be believing for things and we feel God say, "Just stop a minute." And we can feel like in that moment we can give up and get disappointed because that was God's denial. But maybe it was just his protection. Maybe things haven't turned around just yet because your father's protecting you. And it's all right to be in that holding position, in that moment of waiting with God. Enjoy it. Hold his hand a little tighter. There's nothing like being held by the Father. And wait until he says, "Okay, the cars are cleared now. It's safe to go." And then you go on your way. God's timing is a beautiful thing. It's such a precious thing. I wish we had the gift of hindsight to look into our future, but that wouldn't be hindsight. But in that moment of hindsight, when you look back and you go, "Oh, I'm so thankful for your timing, God. I'm so thankful that maybe that situation didn't turn around the way that I thought, because now look at me." And I could tell you story after story of that in my life, of where I really was believing for something. I really wanted something, but God in his wisdom and in his goodness held me back, held my hand and said, "Just wait a minute. just stop a minute. And sometimes the answer is no, because your Father can see far and ahead. And I'm so thankful that we have a God who sees our past, our present, but also is in charge and in control of our future, because He wants the best for you. And I'm so thankful that those situations didn't go the way I wanted, for I would not be doing what I do today. I wouldn't be in the relationship with God that I am today. I wouldn't have this incredible family that we have today. So we need to learn to trust Him with all of our heart, yeah? Amen. You know, another story I love from the Word is about when Paul is on the island of Malta and he gets bitten by the viper. It's a bit of an unusual story, but God's really been speaking to me about it, of not holding back when you're in a place of pain. You know, sometimes you can go through seasons of pain. We all walk through them at times. Thank goodness they don't last forever. But sometimes we can be walking through those times where it's just tough. You know what I mean? It's like, God, are you going to come through in this situation? Or that person at work is giving me a hard time. But God has called us to take His kingdom into every part of our life, into His city, into this nation, into your workplace or into your school or university. But it's not dependent on how you're feeling. It's also not dependent on your personality. For if it were depending on our personality, I certainly would not be speaking to you today. Nothing within me would love to stand on a stage and talk to you. I'm a bit more of a shy person. I'd love just to have a one-on-one chat to the side, but God hasn't called us because of our personality. He's called us because of what He sees in you. So we see here in this text that Paul is in a place of pain. He's been hurt. Let's pick it up in Acts 28, verse 1. And we're going to read through to verse 6. It says, "After we were safe on land, we found out that this was the island called Malta. And the natives showed us extraordinary kindness and hospitality, for they kindled a fire and welcomed us all. Since it had begun to rain and it was cold, but when Paul gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper crawled out because of the heat and fastened itself onto his hand. When the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they began to say to one another, 'Undoubtedly, this man is a murderer. Though he has been saved from the sea, just as the avenging goddess has not permitted him to live.' Then Paul simply shook the creature off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. But they stood watching and expecting him to swell up or suddenly drop dead. But after they had waited a long time and had nothing and seen nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds, saying he was a god." It's a pretty interesting story, right? This viper's attracted to the heat and bites Paul on the hand. Now, I don't know if you've ever been bitten by a snake. Thankfully, I have not. But my response would not be to simply shake it off. My response would be to run in the other direction, to throw the thing, to stomp on the thing. I saw a snake once at the lake next to our house, and my blissful walk turned into a sprint. I was not hanging around for anything. But Paul handles it so differently. And I find it so interesting to see that it says that the viper was attracted to the heat. You see, the Bible calls us as Christians to be either hot or cold, not lukewarm, nothing in between. You see, I find it amusing also that the enemy never really minds when we're just living a mediocre life for Christ. But I've found that when I come into this place of holding nothing back, when I've surrendered my everything and my all for Christ, it's in those moments where the enemy comes, like the Word says, like a roaring lion ready to devour. And I go, my goodness, where were you before? You didn't really care when I was doing nothing. But when someone is so alight for Christ, when someone has that fire in their spirit, that's when the enemy looks up and goes, no, I don't like that. I don't want them to do that. So he comes and he prowls around like a roaring lion. But the Bible doesn't say he does devour. It says he's ready to devour. The Bible doesn't say that he is going to be able to bite you. It's just this facade and this intimidating spirit that would come and want to hold you back. It would come and make you want to pull away. But we're not people that are like that, are we? We're people that are not intimidated by the Word when the enemy comes and brings lies. We're not intimidated when we're facing situations of disunity. No, we're people that stand up tall, knowing the Word of God. We declare His truth and we expect to see situations change. You see, I love that there's so many of you here today, and I can look around and know so many of your stories. So many things that tried to take you out. They might have got close. But the fact that you're sitting in this room today tells me that they didn't take you out this time. They didn't get you. And even though they may have felt like they pushed you to breaking point, they didn't. God sustained you. God brought the breakthrough. God brought you through. And so today, I believe again, God's hand of breakthrough, His anointing to break through, whatever situation you're facing is here for you, if only we want to receive it. You see, so Paul, again, he didn't pull his hand back. He didn't run away. You know, sometimes when we're hurt, we just want to pull back. Maybe I'll just take a break for a while. Maybe I'll just live stream church. Maybe I'll just hide at home. Now, there's good times to live stream church when you can't get here. That's awesome. But if we're doing that to avoid coming into the house of God because we're hurt, that's the wrong heart. That's the wrong spirit. But you see, Paul, it says, then Paul simply shook off the creature. We just need to shake it off. Just shake it off. Because the enemy's just wanting to intimidate us. And you know that testimony that was shared on Planet Shakers News of that tumor that was in my face, I just felt like that was an annoyance of the enemy to come and distract me. And that whole time I felt God just say, just ignore it, don't worry about it, I've got this. And so when we face these things, let's take word from advice from Paul and just shake it off. So when your bank account is telling you that it's 000, I know the feeling, shake it off. God is my provider. When the health report comes back for 10 years in a row with a bad report, shake it off. When your marriage is looking like it's on the rocks, shake it off. God's gonna restore. When your workplace is so ungodly, you wonder, how could God move here? Oh, just shake that off. Because sometimes we believe in the facts more than we believe in the truth. We need to shift our minds and go, although the situation is fact, although my bank balance does say 000, the truth is God is my provider. The truth is God will restore your marriage. The truth is your children will be serving the house of God. I love that. You know, our parents raised us every Sunday. They'd say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. There was no choice about whether we would go to church or not. And I am so thankful for that. So parents, if you have kids like I was as a little one that said, I don't want to go today, bring them anyway. Because you're putting something in them that says, as for me and my house, we put God's house first. We serve the Lord. You see, what Paul also did here was he had a choice. He could stay still, let the venom sink into his hand, let it start to swell up, let it fester, let it eventually kill him, but he just shook it off. And as children of God, we have a choice that when we're faced with those situations, do we let it sink in? Do we allow it the door to our heart? Do we allow it to bring doubt and unbelief? Or do we, as Paul did, shake it off and go, I'm choosing to believe God's word. And sometimes we need to make that choice to forgive quickly. I know it hurts, but as we do it, it opens a door for God to move in our lives and in our hearts. Because unforgiveness, it really just holds you and I back. It doesn't affect the other person. But would we be people who would be quick to forgive, have a soft heart and a strong mind, and allow God to do a work in our heart? You know, I love that God has given us the great example of holding nothing back. Jesus showed us how it's done. Just surrender it all and the rest will be blessed. You know, and today I'm so reminded of, you know, like an older married couple, and they might have a special party to renew their wedding vows, where they've been married for years, but they decide we're going to renew our commitment to one another. We're going to again declare that till death do us part, I'm going to love you. I'm going to remain faithful to you. And I feel like today God is giving us that opportunity as well, to perhaps renew our vows to Him and say, God, today again, I'm gonna commit my life to you. I'm gonna give my life to you. I'm gonna allow you to know every part of me. I'm gonna have an intimate relationship with you, God. And you know, as we do that, as we pour out our life to God, He pours His life back into us. So when we pour our all out on the altar, we're not leaving empty. In fact, we're leaving full. Because God will come and fill us in turn. You know, I would love to come to the end of my life knowing that I held nothing back, knowing that I shared the gospel with every person that I could, knowing that I bought my all, every Sunday, every day in my mundane life, that I represented Jesus the best as I could. I would love to do that. I'd love to be like beautiful Nana Kathleen serving in Planet Kids. She's a champion. Every Sunday, bringing her best to love our little babies. I'd love to be like that when I grow up. You know, it's a bit of a funny story, but I've started going to the gym. Don't know if you've noticed. It's been 3 weeks. 3 weeks of faithfully going to the gym. I've actually never been to the gym in my life other than this. Paid for gym memberships, never been. But anyway, I'm determined. It's a new day. Anyway, so a few weeks ago, I went to this class with my housemate, and in the first 30 seconds during the warm-up, they were getting us to do burpees. Now, if only you could have seen it. The guy's like, that's not how you do it. This is this buff guy, trains everyone, trains the best. It's an elite gym, so he knows what to do. Then there's little me who has no idea how to do a burpee. And he's like, oh, you've got it all wrong. Let me teach you. But in the first 30 seconds, I turned to my housemate, Anna, and I said, we've made a mistake coming here. And she just laughed and said, shh, you're making us look bad. And I pushed through 45 minutes of this class, and then we ended up on this a rowing machine, and then you alternate it with a stair machine. And I was on this stair machine, giving it a little bit that I had left. And he comes and he yells in my face and goes, leave nothing on the table. Give every last bit. You've got 30 seconds to go. All I wanted to do was yell back at him and say, I've got nothing left. But God began to speak to me in that moment. He's so funny, isn't he? He began to speak to me and say, will you leave nothing on the table for me? That when you come to the end of your life, you'll be able to say, here I am, Jesus. There is nothing left on the table. Every breath I gave to you, every word, it brought you glory. Every time I used my effort, Jesus, it was all for you. And church, my question for you today is, will you leave nothing on the table? Will you give it all to him and trust that he's gonna look after it all? Will you give him every tear that you cry? Would you give him every word that you speak? Everything that you're still believing for, would you give it to him today? Would you lay it all down and say, Jesus, here I am. I give myself to you again. Now I know that most of us here are already saved, so I'm not asking you to give your heart in that way again, although we will in a moment, but I'm asking for those who have a relationship with him, would today be a turning point moment for you where I guess you renew your vows with God? Would you lay yourself before him again today and say, Jesus, it is all for you. Every part of me, it's yours. When people look at my life, would they just see you? When I am working on my computer, God, would it be for your glory? Mum's in the room. Who just stay at home mums, you're not just a stay at home mum. Would you raise those children for his glory? Would you bring your best for them every morning? You know, I even see parents getting up in the middle of the night to do a midnight feed. Bless you. But would you do it for his glory? Would you raise that little one to be a champion in the house of God? Businessman or woman, when you're in your office, would you radiate his love? Would every time you step into a meeting, you declare things into the atmosphere? Every time, student, that you're on a train, that you're on a tram, sitting in a class, would it be to bring him glory? That you'd hold nothing back, bringing your very best for God? And so today, if that's you, and you say, I'd love to do that today, I'd love to renew my vows with God, I'd love to surrender my all to him, would you just stand to your feet and lift your hands?
Thanks so much for joining us today. I pray that you got something out of the word. If you want to connect with us on any of our social media platforms, look us up at Planet Shakers. Have an incredible week.